knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines in all the scenes, the footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are for the table. The many times we give and Brian could our quite unsinable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable on Tuesday, the 7th day of November. We are with us at the moment, my friend Cindy Smith. We hope to be joined sometime this hour by my friend Steve Ben-Noon. His website is israelinewslive.org. Cindy, I don't expect you to know the answer, but I'm going to ask you, what year was the highest SAT scores by high school seniors ever recorded?
My guess would be that probably took place in the 1950s.
And it was a little bit later, 1966, the year I graduated from high school, the highest SAT scores ever recorded. Now, they've changed it. It's now, most recently, about the third time, they've changed the SAT test to artificially raise the SAT scores because it's so humiliating and so embarrassing to see them keep going down each year. Now, you're old enough, you probably had, you may not, you're quite a bit younger than me, but the Dick and Jane readers, did you have those in school?
Absolutely.
You did. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Ladies and gentlemen, those were brought into our public schools in the 1930s. That was the beginning of what's called sight reading. Now, the teachers in the 20s, 30s, 40s were all taught phonics, and they taught their students phonics. Even though they had the Dick and Jane readers, they still taught phonics on one hand. On the other, as these teachers retired that knew how to teach phonics, all they had left was sight reading. Now, if you only learn to read using sight reading, you are forever crippled and handicapped with a limited vocabulary. With phonics, you learn how to understand and interpret new words, unfamiliar words, words you've never seen before. With sight reading, you don't have that ability, do you, Cindy?
Well, that's absolutely true. And there's been a lot of focus over the years about how poorly public school children are reading. And it's very clear that the sight reading method of teaching reading has been a large contributor to that. The other thing about phonics that's important to understand is that it not only helps you learn how to decipher your own language, but for those students that move on to learn a second or third or fourth language, having that phonics as a skill set helps you when you're trying to learn, say, Latin or Spanish or French. Those skills are very important for that as well.
Absolutely. Well, in the 1970s, mid to late 1970s, it was becoming really clear all over the country what was happening, this absolute disaster. And a private company came up with a program called Hooked on Phonics. Public schools started teaching phonics again. Now, locally, well, I won't mention the school district, but one of our local school districts, they began teaching phonics at the sixth grade. You need to start phonics in kindergarten, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The younger age student is more open to learning languages, and anyone who's served overseas with their family, with small children, will come back to the United States with stories of their amazement of how quickly these young American children who might be in Germany, for instance, because mom or dad is in the military, how quickly these young students pick up German or French or whatever language that's being spoken in the area where they're living temporarily. The human being has a great capacity to learn language at those younger years, but as we get older, we have a diminished capacity to learn a second or third language.
Absolutely. Well, the first week I was in Vietnam, I went down to the market and I bought myself an English-Vietnamese dictionary. And within a month, and I noticed about the, well, about there 5 or 6 weeks, that I was thinking in Vietnamese, which I knew at that point that I was learning the language when I didn't have to think about it consciously, that I would see something or hear something, and my response in my brain was in the Vietnamese language, not English. Of course, I was only 1 month past my 20th birthday when I got to Vietnam, and I was soaking up the language, soaking up the culture. I worked arm in arm. My partner that I worked with in my military intelligence was a Vietnamese soldier, 20 years old. He already had a wife and two children, but we hit it off. We became fast friends. And during the Tet Offensive, I helped him and his buddy stay safe at our place because their apartment was not safe. But I was fascinated by the whole culture, by the people, by the language. And the Vietnamese really appreciated that this tall, young American was at least attempting to learn their language. And anywhere you go, the native people do appreciate that, don't they?
Well, they absolutely do. There is that sort of meme out there about the ugly American who just goes to Europe or wherever on vacation and acts like everyone should bow to them and speak English to them. And people understand, I think, even if a lot of Americans have lost the perspective on the fact that learning a second or third language immerses you in culture. Each language has its own culture and its own worldview. And I think that's one of the reasons why high schools have gotten away from teaching second languages. A lot of colleges for certain programs used to require, in order to get a degree in a specific field, that you had 2 years of a foreign or classical language. And a lot of colleges and universities have gone away from that. And I would say much to the detriment of the college graduate, especially if they're interested in doing something in international commerce or wanting to do something in the international financial realm. They lack that ability to have a second look at culture because they haven't studied a second language.
Absolutely. Well, if you want a career in as a healthcare professional or in biology, you damn well better learn Latin, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, I graduated from a Catholic college that was in the process of becoming a university when I was there in the late 80s. And I went back to my alma mater this summer for my college reunion, only to find out that they have made this complete shift. When I was there, there was a lot of emphasis on liberal arts. They had a robust music and theater program, and now they're getting rid of the music program. They're getting rid of those liberal arts degrees, and they've gone over to all of this medical and STEM because that's where the money is. That's where the grant funding is. That's where the research funding is. And they sort of followed the money, but I'm not sure that the student who's there is actually getting a well-rounded education under these changes.
Absolutely. Let's go back to phonics. Let's say it's, I don't know the exact year, but let's pick 1935. The men and women in charge of education at the national level, they have PhDs in education. They have a system that's been in place and has worked for many, many decades to teach American children the English language, that system being phonics. And they decided to take something that was working perfectly, turned out well-educated young men and women who understood and could use English language properly, and they changed it, and they broke it. Now, you can believe one of two things, Cindy. Either these PhD educators knew exactly what they were doing when they took a system that worked properly and turned out well-educated young children when it came to English language, or they were complete idiots and didn't know what they were doing, thinking they were, quote-unquote, simplifying this educational system and not knowing that the outcome would be young boys and girls who did not properly know and understand the English language. Is there a third choice?
I'm not aware of a third choice, and I just can't believe that was done out of ignorance. I believe that was done intentionally. One of the things that's been a problem, and we've seen it over and over in education, is every, 10 years or so, maybe 15, 20 years, a new revolution in how we're going to educate is presented. One of the things that I remember vividly is this pod concept of how we're going to tear down the walls in the inside of the school, and we're all going to have this open system of educating, and kids are not going to sit at desks anymore. And that was tried for a brief period of time until it became very apparent that if my class is over here and your class is over there and there's no walls anymore, nobody is getting any instruction because they're hearing each other's lessons and they're being distracted all the time. So that's just another example of this idea that we were going to reimagine education. We're going to do something different. We're going to have all of these wonderful results. And the results were abysmal.
Amazing. Well, I'm not surprised at all. I would expect that to happen. The homeschool effort had the largest growth ever as a consequence of COVID. Parents who thought, there's no way I can do this. My wife and I, we both have jobs. We can't possibly do this on one hand. On the other, COVID left them with no choice except to educate these children home, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. During COVID, our youngest learner was put on a video platform for education because the public schools were closed, but the local school system wasn't prepared with online learning. All they had was a recovery platform, which meant that it was designed for recovery. So let's say that Johnny or Susie failed Algebra 1 in the first semester, they could go on to this online platform, recover their learning, not have to repeat the grade, and continue on with the second semester. Well, that program really wasn't designed for education and instruction, and I could tell that my young learner at home on this platform was not learning anything. That entire rest of that year when the public school was not meeting in person, my child learned very little.
Well, multiply that times how many million nationwide, Cindy?
Well, absolutely. And I think one of the things that is coming home to roost as folks are looking back at how our country responded to the COVID scare was the loss of learning and how that is very difficult to recover. And you might be able to recover it on a small number of students with a lot of resources and mom and dad taking a lot of additional effort to help their student recover. But for a public school system to take all of those students that had all those learning losses and respond to it system-wide seems to me to be a very difficult thing.
Well, Cindy, it's been about 12 years ago. I was asked to be a speaker at Career Day at the junior high school locally, sixth graders. And I agreed to do that. And so I'm there to make my presentation. It was about 25 students, and I think out of the 25, maybe five or six were actually looking at me and listening to what I was saying. They were looking out the window. They were doing this. They were doing that. They were fidgeting. I doubt that's changed. What do you think?
I think it's been made worse by all of the focus on social media. I see families going out to dinner, even here in rural Missouri. This is not just a big city thing. And you see a family sit down at a restaurant for dinner, and you look across the table, and all of them, mom, dad, every kid, has the phone out in front of them, and they're paying attention to the phone. They're not having a conversation. And there's plenty of research out that shows that our attention spans, because we get this immediate feedback by pressing play on a video or text messaging or watching YouTube videos, and we're losing our ability to focus. Back when I was in college, it was not unusual to have 20, 30, 40 pages of reading material to have read and prepared for the next class meeting. With students have been on a cell phone and on a computer with the internet age now, I have a child that has never known anything other than the internet being there. That child's attention span is not going to be conducive to sitting down and reading 20 or 30 or 40 pages of a primary text, getting ready for the next meeting of the college class.
Well, my oldest grandson, he's now 26, but when he was in Washington University in the state of Washington, he was on a road trip for the football team, and it was going to be a long trip on the bus going there. And I said, well, that's great, young man. You can take your books with you and get caught up in your reading. And he says, Grandpa, we don't have books. I was shocked. Grandpa, we don't have any books.
Well, it's not just in college that that's happening. Back when Common Core was just getting started and people were just becoming aware of what was going on, a lot of the public schools didn't have the materials to teach what was being expected of them to be taught through Common Core. So I know personally teachers were going out and creating their own curriculum. And sometimes that meant that it was a printed material, and sometimes it meant it was on an online platform. So it's even in the public schools now where a child will come home and mom and dad will say, well, where's your science book? Where's your civics book? And there isn't one. And I think mom and dad got a big eye-opening experience with COVID when they saw what was being taught and how it was being taught when Johnny and Susie were online during COVID.
Absolutely. Well, going back to that oldest grandson, my wife, Marianne, and I drove 2,100 miles one way to see this young man play football and visit with him. So it's Sunday morning after the Saturday football game. We're in a restaurant, and this boy is messing with his smartphone rather than engaging in conversation with his grandparents. So my wife went to the restroom, and I chewed this boy out, and he put it away, finally.
Well, I have a rule in my household, which is when we are at the table eating, we eat together as a family whenever possible. Now, we do have people with varying schedules, so not all of us are sitting at the table at the same time. No phones are allowed at the dining room table, and no computers, no music, no televisions. We are focused on our family meal time together. I'm thinking back to the good old days of Ronald Reagan, where I remember him very famously saying, the most important decisions made in America are the decisions made around the family dining table. And I think for a lot of Americans, this isn't even a possibility because not everybody is present at the dining table. At least they're not present to one another outside of all of these interventions with technology.
Right. Well, my generation, baby boomers, we're the first generation to be raised from infancy with TV. There's no precedence for that. And it was about the late 1950s that TV dinners came into existence, TV trays came into existence, and families spent the evening meal in front of a glowing screen with these not very good frozen dinners that have been heated up on these TV trays. And that was a dramatic change to society, wasn't it?
It affected so many different areas of American life. I had the opportunity not too long ago to read the Neil Postman book called Entertaining Ourselves to Death. Fantastic book. He talks about how American society was revolutionized by television. And one of the most interesting areas of the book for me was when he talked about how Christian worship services changed to become almost like a musical performance. And you go into some of these churches, and I haven't lived in Missouri my whole life, so I've visited a lot of churches trying to find a new church home. And you walk into the worship space, and what does it look like? It looks like a stage for a rock band to play. That's how dramatic that shift was in worship.
Absolutely. Well, if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have anybody there, would they?
Yeah, it's almost like we don't go to church anymore with the mind frame of we're going to be presented the gospel, we're going to be challenged with the gospel, and we're going to learn something that hopefully will make us a better person and change our perspective for the week so that, we can grow our community and grow our family and grow in our own spiritual faith. It's almost created this idea that we go to church to be entertained. And when I go and visit these churches, I see music that looks like it came off of a worship album. It's not actually congregational worship.
Here's our break. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They got to be tired, the Revs. They got to be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, what are you waiting for? Arthritis pain slowing you down? Same thing. Get yourself an energy cleaner. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on an energy cleaner. And right now, I have the Veterans Day sale in effect on the energy cleaner and the mattress pads. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with my friend Cindy Smith, we're talking about education. If you have a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We're hoping that Steve Benoon will join us, but he may or may not. Looks like we got a caller here. Cindy, we got Ms. J in Missouri. Morning, Ms. J. Okay, looks like Ms. J is not with us.
Well,
you there? Go ahead.
Yeah, you were speaking about the predicament of our children in the public schools of America, and so I would like to propose that you look at this YouTube. It's called Jones's Geniuses. Dr. Miles Jones. He is a linguist and an archaeologist, and he created an accelerated learning curriculum. And in this YouTube, you will see where he has these little public school children in the inner city of Houston, Texas. They appear to be about 6, maybe 7 years old. He gives them a pencil and a pad, and he pits them against adult members of Mensa, and they have calculators. And then he gives them this mathematical problem to solve. Well, these little children get the correct answer within minutes while the adult members of Mensa are still trying to figure it out on their calculators. This is a wonderful YouTube. I believe it's a wonderful accelerated curriculum, something that we should probably try to get to help our children to gain the excellence that America has been known for in past times. So let me give you a phone number where you can reach the office. It is area code 830-257-7414. Again, that is area code 830-257-7414. This is Dr. Miles Jones, and ask for the accelerated curriculum. That's what I wanted to share today.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Well, here's what our listeners can do, Cindy. Work with children and grandchildren to teach them mathematics in the old-fashioned way, which actually works, as opposed to this new math, which I understand with new math, 4 and 4 can actually be 5, and you're not wrong. Is that somewhat accurate, Cindy?
That is what I am understanding from parents who are complaining about the Common Core math, the way it's taught in the public schools, that those concepts are being taught that way. And I think it's sort of a surreptitious way of trying to undermine the mind frame of the student. And it's part of that dumbing down effort. I think the caller, Ms. J, talked about an online program that's available, or at least the video is available to look at on YouTube. I'm not familiar with that one. I'll be real curious to go and take a look at it. And they're talking about it in terms of an accelerated program. And just to take a step back, we talked earlier about the fact that all of these sort of avant-garde learning things have been tried with the pod learning and the whole language learning and everything. We've got a lot of things going on with the way students are tested with standardized testing. A lot of those things have been brought in by the education establishment that have created roadblocks for authentic learning. And so what might appear to be to the American who's been, in this age where there's been a lot of undermining of the education system, that might seem like an accelerated program. But I feel like if you went back to the one-room schoolhouse where my mother was educated, that was not accelerated. That was the rate at which those children learned. And if we strip away all of these things that have been layered into the education system that really aren't educative, that are truly roadblocks and stumbling blocks, we will find that our children are very, very eager learners and very smart, and it doesn't take an entire day to educate a child. It does in the public school, but as a homeschool mom, I could get my educating done in 4 hours in the morning, almost every day, done by lunchtime.
Well, across the street from me, you live is what was a country schoolhouse. They had grades 1 through 4 on one side of the building, and 5 through 8 on the other side, with a movable wall in between, and those kids got a great education. Here's our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Anna.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. You want to educate yourself on COVID, the COVID clot shot? You can do that at my website. We have articles and videos by Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, a former director of medical research at Pfizer. He's a Brit, but you can understand him pretty clearly. He's saying in no uncertain terms that the intended effect of all the COVID vaccination clot shots is to kill and hurt people. These are not side effects. Side effects are unintended. These are direct effects that are meant to happen. So educate yourself so we in turn can educate others. The Energy Cleaner is on sale right now. Veterans Day sale is in effect right now. $25 off Energy Cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. You can place your order right there at my website using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Place your order, it goes in the full price. I do the sale price refund manually. You can call my toll-free airline, same thing. Don't ask my order takers about the sale. They won't have a clue what you're talking about. I take care of that manually. My toll-free airline is 800-592-9543. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us my friend Cindy Smith. We're talking about education. And Cindy, let's say you picked up a friend, and that friend had a three-year-old child. The three-year-old child is sitting between you and your friend in the car seat, and you're driving along. And that three-year-old is reading all the store signs and billboards as you drive down the road, just happy as can be, reading all the signs. What would you think about that?
I would think that that is something that we should expect children to be able to do.
That was me. I thought it was great fun.
That's pretty remarkable. I have a family member who my brother was reading before he got to kindergarten. And my parents decided to hold him back because he was a very small statured child and they thought he wasn't ready to go to school. And then at Christmas time, my mom decided to have him tested and so brought him to the local public school. And they tested him and they said, even though this child has missed the first half of the year up until Christmas time, he's already reading. He is going to be so bored if you wait and put him in kindergarten next year. So my brother actually only had half a year
kindergarten.
Yeah. Right. Only had a half year of kindergarten. And you know, my parents thought they were doing the right thing by holding him back, but actually, he was a very bright student. My mom read to us kids every day when we were growing up, and he took to reading and would bring books to the kitchen table and read on his own, totally unprompted.
Well, I got my first library card. I was in, I think, second or third grade, and I felt so adult and so grown up that I had this important document that adults were trusting me to take these oh-so-valuable books from the library, trusting me to bring them back. I was just, and of course, I got every book there was on dinosaurs. And my parents decided to let me walk back and forth to the public library, which is about a mile each way as a third grader in the city of St. Louis. And I did so and didn't have any problems. It becomes real apparent to parents and grandparents real quick that this youngster is bright, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And even if the public school is not in a position to provide extra helps for that child, that does not preclude the family, friends, neighbors providing enrichment activities for that child. One of the things we saw come out of the public school shutdown and COVID is the pod learning concept, where even though mom and dad might be working full-time jobs, with some help from friends and family and coworkers and neighbors, those children can be schooled at home. You have to be very deliberate about what you do. And, you know, maybe the neighbor next door is the one that teaches the science and he's only available to teach on Saturday morning. The other days of the week, the children are doing their lessons. But those arrangements can be made. I know it sounds like it wouldn't work, but actually a lot of homeschool families have found a pod concept does work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've been out here in our neighborhood for 22 years, and I've watched these youngsters grow up, and I've gone to the graduation ceremonies, and I've seen the children that get these scholarships are the ones that the parents gave extra attention to, not just left it to the school teachers, but they gave extra attention to these students to make sure that they got a good grounding in language and mathematics, and they're the ones that get the scholarships, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I think what parents have come to understand, more and more parents over the years, is that you are the educator for your child. You may elect to have a school, either a parochial school or a local public school, be your surrogate in that regard, but you have to be the advocate for your child. And if you're not, you may not be happy with the educational outcome that your child is getting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the purpose of our conversation is to encourage parents and grandparents to not just turn the children over to the public schools with no follow-up, but to, assuming they're not being homeschooled, of course, but to take action, make sure, my daughter has been very good at this, by the way, limiting access to video games and internet, filling up extra time with sports activities, which teaches discipline to the youngsters and team spirit and so forth. But limiting access to internet and to video games is essential, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think it's very telling. There's a small group of people that do not allow their children to have smartphones, and they are the people who are CEOs of big tech outfits, because they've looked at the research and they know how damaging it is for a child to come home from school and be on the computer and on the phone solid until bedtime. And so you will find that a lot of those folks, their children are not allowed on the internet for hours and hours at a time, not allowed on their smartphone for hours and hours at a time. We used to talk about latchkey kids, where what are Johnny and Susie going to do between, say, 3 or 3:30 getting home from school and when mom and dad walk in the front door at 5:30 and 6 o'clock? This is a great opportunity for grandparents, people concerned about the education system, to craft programs and do some enrichment-type activities with these children.
Absolutely. Well, some of the things that used to help youngsters, such as the Boy Scouts, I'll pick on the Boy Scouts for a bit. I don't know if the communists took over the Boy Scouts with intent, but we now have the Boy Scouts allowing girls, they call them the Scouts, by the way, no longer the Boy Scouts of America, they're just called the Scouts. What could possibly go wrong with attractive young teenage girls and handsome young teenage boys going out into the woods for a fun-filled weekend? What could possibly go wrong with that, Cindy?
Well, that was tried in the military, and that didn't work out very well. And so the same undermining influences are going to take place with the undermining of the Scouts. There's a lot of enrichment activities that are available out there. I was a 4-H kid. I learned a lot of things outside of the classroom by my experiences with 4-H. In addition to sports, music education, whether it takes place in the school or outside of the school with lessons or community choirs or all of that, that's also a great learning experience for young people.
Now, I've admired 4-H from a distance for decades, and I don't know that the details about the nuances of 4-H. Has 4-H, do you know, you may or may not know, has 4-H become politically correct and woke or not? I have no idea.
My children have not been involved in 4-H, so I can't speak to, you know, how it may or may not have changed over the years in that regard. But I remember learning about leadership. I remember learning about home economics. Of course, there was all the animal husbandry. There was the needle crafts. There was horticulture. There's any number of areas of learning that may not be the book learning that you would get in school, but still very, very valuable.
I'm sure it was, and it helped make you the woman that you became. Well, there's hope, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a parent or grandparent, there's ways to teach that youngster beginning at 3 or 4 years old phonics. There's ways to teach that youngster mathematics in the proper traditional manner so they actually do understand mathematics. I see youngsters, men and women under the age of 30, in various retail situations where they're working a cash register. If the electric's down and the cash register is not working, they can't make simple change, can they?
I have actually been working in a retail environment a number of years ago, and I would at times work with young people that were probably working their first job. Maybe they were still in high school. Maybe they were living at home and taking college classes either at the local community college or online. And if they made an error at the cash register, let's say that the total of the purchase was $17.95. And instead of putting in $20 as the amount tendered, they mistakenly dropped the zero and they got $2 in there. They were completely bumfuzzled as to how I'm going to be able to figure out how much change to count back to the customer. And part of that is an educational problem where we're not teaching the basic skills to kids. Basic economic skills like how to balance a checkbook, how to count change back, how to look at a contract to get a loan for a car and be able to determine something as basic as, well, if I make all the payments as agreed, how much at the end of the day is this car going to cost me? It's gotten so bad that I know a college economics professor that teaches a 100-level course called Personal Economics. And it's really not theoretical economics. He's not teaching monetary theory. He's not teaching money and banking. He's not teaching the Laffer Curve. He's teaching these kids who are in college how to balance their checkbook and do, you know, the cycle of sevens for interest and all that. That's what he's teaching at the college level.
Really, really. That's what I learned in junior high school, how to balance a checkbook.
Right.
Seventh grade, junior high school. It's a little bit late, isn't it?
Well, it's even worse than that. Just like our young people have gotten accustomed to getting their news off of TikTok and Instagram, they are going around with a debit card in their pocket. And I traveled with some young people about a year and a half ago on my job, and they were recent college graduates. Both of them had been out of college for about 2 or 3 years, and we stopped somewhere for coffee. And I said something about, well, I'm going to pay cash for my coffee. And they both looked at me and they said, you know, we don't even carry cash. And I said, well, you know, think about this. What if there was a regional power outage? How would you be able to pay for gas in your car if you couldn't swipe your credit card at the pump? And, you know, they're just not understanding that all of these high-tech conveniences that we have, they have security problems. You can't count on them. You have to be able to fall back on having some cash in your pocket and not using the internet to make purchases.
Well, it's been that way for young people for two decades. I first started running into it in the around 1990 or so. We got a caller here, Cindy. We got John in Michigan. Morning, John.
Good morning. I just tuned into your show, and it sounds like you're talking about how great our education system is. I don't know who your guest is, John. Is this someone that...
Cindy Smith is her name, Cindy Smith.
Well, Cindy, are you familiar with the outcome-based education system that they brought in the 90s?
Yeah, that's part of that education takeover, another one of those layers of bureaucracy that is not really producing good outcomes for our kids.
Well, the first thing they do is take away the language skills and then the math skills, and pretty soon they can't problem solve. They need their groupthink. Michigan and Pennsylvania and Oregon were the pilot states for this program, and they brought it here in the mid-90s, and it's just so destructive. You're familiar with Charlotte Iserbeet's website, Deliberate Dumbing Down? Or
yes, I am familiar with her work, and I found it on other websites originally where she would have articles published, and I have done some look at her work, and it's really astounding, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately she's passed, but her son has a site too called AmericanDeception.com, and there's a whole large category of education history to show exactly where it's gone. And than a letter from Mark Tucker to Hillary Clinton in the mid-90s. If you look that one up, explains the whole thing. This was all developed by David Rockefeller, Hillary Clinton, Ira Magazine, he was part of the education system, and it was to deliberately take away all the skills of the students. And we pulled our children out of the school up here in northern Michigan because they were implementing it here.
Well, good for you. Good for you, John. But,
well, thank you. But I don't. I know that you're short on time for this hour, but that is why they can't. They can't even read a digital clock or clock with standard arms or standard numbers. They need digital
analog. Right.
But it's clock. Just totally exactly, and it's very destructive to our country because they're unable to really problem solve, and that's where these skills are very important in life, to just simple things. But that's why they can't count back change. That's one of the things we did when we first took our children out in the 90s, was start with that and learn or understand what they didn't know. And it's just so sad. And that's everyone from maybe 50 on down is lacking in all this information.
Absolutely. Great call, John. We appreciate it. We'll wrap this up. Dear Sleepless, I recommend Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say, there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Fix bayonets.
Lay me down.
Tuesday morning round here. We have with us my friend Cindy Smith. Cindy, we got one last caller here. It looks like Russell in Illinois. Almost out of time here, Russell.
Yes, thank you. You know, what I had hoped to ask was whether or not those of us who have been victims of the miseducational process in our adult years, is there a pathway that we can get back on? Whether it be a national pathway of some kind to repair the damage that's been done?
I'm not aware of one that can correct that issue that they put you through there, Russell. My main thought in that regard is just to read a lot. But Cindy, do you have any thoughts on how to correct the damage done?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier for the children that had all that learning deficit because of the public schools closing COVID. I don't see a great hope for an institutional response to that or a national program that's going likely to be very effective. But those kind of enrichment activities that we talked about for the latchkey kids, there's nothing prohibiting an individual from going back and taking a look at where their learning deficit is and then finding resources to address that. Ms. J talked about that Jones program. I'm familiar with a program called the Khan Academy, which is also available online. That would be an example of something that you could do as a young adult or even an older adult that realizes that they have a learning area where they need to bone up. There's a lot of resources available on the internet. And I know we did a lot of conversation earlier this hour about the lack of students being able to focus because of too much time on the internet. The internet has not been totally bad. It's opened up a lot of learning opportunities for people that weren't there prior to the internet. So we kind of have to take the good with the bad. But I really feel like this is an issue where primarily it's one of personal responsibility, just like educating your own children. Is a personal responsibility. And just to encourage you that there's a lot of resources out there. I'll just you know, let you know, probably the educational deficit that I know that I have the most is a lack of a understanding of world geography. And so I'll hear something on the news about something going on in the Middle East, and I realize that I just don't have a world geography background that I really need as an adult.
I hope that helps, Russell.
You. Yes, I think it does. I'm familiar with Khan Academy. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Appreciate it. Well, Cindy, my son-in-law, who's right at about 50 years old, a great father, great husband, great provider, he says, John, if I'm going to read something, I need to have the door shut, no extraneous noise whatsoever, and it's hard and it's difficult to read anything of any consequence. And I only do it when I have no choice. He does not read for pleasure. That's a sad situation, isn't it?
It's absolutely sad.
It is. Cindy, thank you. We appreciate it. Look forward to having you back next Tuesday.
I'll see you soon.
Okay. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never ever give your guns. Lead a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. The lovely state of Missouri I get to live in. The beautiful big state of Texas. And Lord, please God bless the United States of America.
Ebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.